Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. That's abilitychiro.com.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
TRE in the afternoon. Presented by Hannah Murray.
Good afternoon. It's just coming up to 10 past five. You are now listening to Men Talk. With me in the studio today is Paul, Steve and Bo. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Thank you all for coming in. If you are listening at home and you want to get involved, you can. Here's how.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95.
Okay, I always like to start with an article about food, and I found one this week. It's talking about the full English, or the traditional kind of fry-up for breakfast. And apparently the traditional one, many would say, would not be complete without fried bread and sausages. But Gen Zers are turning to far healthier options. Even once popular cereals, considered now sugar-laden, and marmalade is also literally off the table. 38% never enjoy a fried slice, while Cocoa Pops and frosted cornflakes, along with black pudding and sausages, are also non-starters. So how do you feel about a fry-up? Are there ingredients that you used to have but you leave out now because you're a bit healthier, or do you have the lot, or do you never eat things like that?
Definitely ingredients I would leave out now. I never thought I'd say that.
Yeah.
We were talking before we came on air about that, and sort of saying that it's great. Now and again, it's fantastic, but an hour and a half later, you wonder why you did that, you know, because you've got the indigestion kicking in. So
I have to agree with the fried bread. I haven't had fried bread in years, and I don't like the idea of it. I remember having it only a few times when I was much younger and feeling like it was naughty and like really unhealthy. And now I think I'd be like, ugh, it's really oily, and I don't think I'd enjoy it.
I was just going to say to you, fried bread is the one thing that I really miss, to be honest with you.
Really?
I don't have it any longer. It used to be part of our staple breakfast every morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to have as much fried bread as you can, dip it in and whack it in. Oh. It was wonderful, but it's not something I ask for now. Or hash browns, unfortunately.
I know, hash browns were definitely my favourite. But you don't get them everywhere, do you? Not many places do hash browns if you go for a fried breakfast. And when they do, I'm like, ooh, that's quite exciting.
That's true. And the ones I ate, the soggy ones.
Oh, yes, I mean, it can't be soggy.
Hash brown. But yeah. The fried bread, years ago, we did it off the fat of the rashers and the sausages.
Okay, so it wasn't
oily.
You're not adding.
So that was especially good for you.
Not wasting anything.
So there was no oil.
Okay.
It was just the fat of the rashers and the sausages, and that's what you did the bread in when you took the food off the plate, like off the pan.
Okay, well, that makes sense. Would you have the sausages now?
Sausages, rashers, white pudding, black pudding.
You have all the puddings.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh,
fried egg or scrambled.
Yeah, either or.
Fried. Got to be fried with the breakfast, I think.
Okay.
Cumberland sausage, got to be.
Yeah.
It's must.
It's funny, I used it for years. I've only really got into bacon and sausages in the last couple of years. For a long time, people used to say, oh, I could never give up meat because of bacon, and bacon used to be everybody's favorite thing.
Yeah.
And I was never bothered about bacon until about 2 years ago. I'm like a late starter with the bacon and sausages for some reason, and now I'm like, yeah, definitely bacon and sausages.
I mean, certainly here where we live at the moment, the breakfast improved so much. I remember 30, 40 years ago, it was like a...
You're not that old, Paul.
Well, that Danish bacon, nothing against Danish bacon.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. It's not.
That sort of boiled sausage, a hurt of sausage or something, it was disgusting.
Yeah.
And butter that you just couldn't spread.
Yeah,
and rock hard.
And a boiled egg.
If you're lucky.
Oh, and the beans that weren't Heinz.
Yeah, but it was 100 for Sayers.
Yeah.
That's 50p for breakfast.
That is very true.
No, they definitely have improved. You're quite right. Okay, this is talking, not children, this is talking about the fact that adults in Britain now spend more time staring at their mobile phone screens than they do watching television. The amount of time that they spend doom scrolling, which is kind of looking through negative news or social media that makes you feel bad about yourself, that kind of stuff, has soared to 3 hours and 21 minutes a day, up from 1 hour and 17 minutes in 2015. But the total time that UK adults spend on screens each day has risen to 7 hours and 27 minutes. Clearly, these people don't work.
I was going to say, are these guys all unemployed?
It must be.
I mean, how do you get the time to do that?
I don't know. That's kind of crazy. But how do you feel about your own screen time?
Personally, I've gotten a very bad habit when I wake up of reaching for the phone.
Yeah.
And going through the news. Reading the news, we get three different sets of newspapers on the phone,
yeah,
and reading it. And it's a very bad habit.
Mm. And that's doom scrolling, because it's all pretty negative, isn't it?
It is. That's the first thing I do.
Yeah.
Before even saying good morning to Ursula.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ursula's my wife, not a pet.
Just to clarify. But does it, seriously, does it put you in a bit of not a bad mood necessarily, but it can't make you go, woohoo, let's start the day looking at that, or does it? Do you not
really
take it?
I have a sort of love-hate relationship with Trump.
Okay.
So I'm nearly looking on my phone to see what he's done now.
Yeah.
Well, you're being kept busy then.
Yeah, exactly. Just looking at what he's done.
Yeah.
Has your screen time kind of got more or less, do you think?
I would say it's probably got more, but certainly not to that extent at all. You know, I try to avoid it. I really don't do social media that much either. So
okay, that makes a difference.
I just sort of keep out. You know, there's enough things going on in my life without worrying about what everybody else is doing.
Yeah.
See, with my business, there's a lot of social media involved. So we do use it a lot. So I don't use it as much as the marketing team, obviously, and stuff like that, but I look at what they're putting out for what we do.
Mm.
But I don't doom scroll. I saw that earlier when we was looking at what you was asking to ask us, and I've never heard that term before. I can't imagine anything worse than trying to get up and want to feel rubbish.
Yeah.
I like to get Instagram and look at funny things.
Yeah,
see,
exactly.
Something that makes me laugh or smile or tweets me interest or, just starts your day with a bit of a giggle.
Yeah, definitely. No, it's a thing, particularly for younger people, the idea of young girls particularly looking at other girls in bikinis and going, oh, I wish I looked like that, and that kind of negative thing, and you're choosing to follow these people, but in reality, when you're looking at all this content, it actually ends up making you feel bad about yourself, as opposed to going, oh, they look great, I'm going to get that bikini. You go, oh, look how great they look, and it's a negative kind of spiral that people can get into. It's a worry. Okay, one more and we'll do a break. Oh, yes. You'd expect the well-off to sleep soundly, but while that may be the case, it seems they tend to snooze up to half an hour less than the poorest. One theory is that the rich replace sleep with social and leisure activities that others can't afford.
We better ask Paul.
Well, I had a look at this. I did read this. My first thought, it's a very bad thought, but if they're the poorest, there's a good chance they're not working. So why do they get up?
in their mind.
So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, people that may have amassed something, there's a good chance an awful lot of them work very hard.
For sure.
And they're probably still in the habit of doing that rather than.
I don't get this connection at all.
As you say, they've probably got a reason to get up. They've got meetings to go to, places to go, things to do, people to see. And like you say, unfortunately, some people have got nothing to do, have they? So they might as well sort of kick back and relax.
Mm.
Yeah, it's very hard to switch your brain off, isn't it, when you're busy and you're active and stuff.
Definitely.
So
yeah.
Probably, you know, sleep is not in your mind at the time.
No.
It's just you're awake in the night sometimes thinking about what you've got to do, your meeting you've got tomorrow and stuff like that. So.
Have you adapted the Spanish lifestyle? Do you have a siesta when you're not working?
No.
No, never?
Never.
No?
Always.
Really, do you?
Always. I love my siesta.
Yeah.
My son, Michael, he used to live in Bilbao, and he went to university in Bilbao. Michael used to go for a siesta.
Yeah.
3 hours later, Michael would get up, And the people in Bilbao told him, Michael, that's not a siesta, that's a sleep. You've gone into bed, like, you know. Yes. But yeah, 45-minute power nap.
Yeah. I love a power nap.
I absolutely love it.
Yeah, do you?
Every day, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Amazing.
Lunch, I feel shattered.
Do you?
If I go to sleep in the afternoon.
I used to fall asleep watching Neighbours, but I can't do that anymore because it's not on.
No.
I thought you were going to say Neighbours have moved.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny, isn't it? Some people, they feel more tired going to sleep, and other people, it kind of energises them, and it definitely energises me. But I never get to the chance to have a siesta because I'm working in the afternoon. But when I did the breakfast show, I used to have a siesta most days, but that was because I was up super early, so it made a difference. Depends what you're doing, doesn't it? Yeah. But if you're up early and you're not working during the afternoon and it's hot, it's nice to have a little power nap, I think.
Yeah.
Just after bargain hunt, I just tend to just drift down.
Yeah, it's during bargain hunt for me.
You have to wait and see how they've done.
Oh, we're gonna take a break.
Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Men Talk. With me in the studio today is Paul, Steve and Beau. There's an article talking about drones and it's saying, the headline reads, hovering above with an eerie whine, they filmed children in gardens and even captured one local having a bath. The invasion of tourist drones terrorising the prettiest village in England. Now, we were saying we didn't know whether they were legal or not, but they must be, the fact that this is happening there. Here, Beau, you were saying you need to get a licence and things. It's all quite strict.
Well, we've had a recent experience of it because we just opened a beach club on the entrance to Port Banus, Cova Beach Club, I will tell you.
And, he's got it in.
I knew I could get in. And as we were building it, we decided we'll take a drone across the port and then go up above Benno Bowler and say, look, you know, we're just here next to, so we're just building it and we're right on the edge of Port Banus. And the security stopped us and said, you know, it's illegal, you have to go up to the tower, and if you don't do that, they have their own drones, and their drone will be able to get the signature registration of what your drone is, and then you'll receive a fine and everything. So we didn't go down that particular path for obvious reasons. But it was very enlightening for me, because I thought, well, fine, you can do what you like. You know, I don't agree, obviously, with people hovering over other people's houses and gardens and looking at the children. My God, what's all that about? But I was surprised that we couldn't do it here by law. I don't know if that's just the port that wanted to charge us, or if it's actually the Spanish law. I really don't know. But the security stopped us from doing that.
Yeah.
So that's definitely something that's happened to us, and that's in the last 6 weeks down here.
I know there's laws around airspace. If you have a drone, you can't go, I don't know the parameters, but anywhere near airspace, which obviously makes perfect sense for lots of reasons. And I think there was an incident years ago down here of a drone too near Malaga Airport, and the owners got arrested, and it was quite a big deal. It wasn't like a couple of hundred euros fine, it was a serious consequence, so it's not something to be messed with.
Yeah, we've had that at Dublin Airport about 2 years ago. It happened for 2 weeks, and flights were cancelled, and the airport was closed and it was someone being mischievous, like, you know what I mean?
How ridiculous.
And it took a long time to find them. My favourite drone one is at Glastonbury starting. And they do a drone at the start of the empty field. They do a drone
when
the people are there,
yeah,
which is incredible. And then they do a drone at the end with the tents left, with the
all the rubbish.
Some rubbish and some, like, very expensive camping equipment and chairs and
But
you just left. Yeah. So it's really, really cool.
I mean, you can get great footage for it. It is great for advertising things like beach clubs or real estate or whatever. Seeing a big villa with the pool, seeing it from above. There's lots of advantages.
You'd think
definitely,
of a, sort of a safety angle to it, though, wouldn't you? I mean, not everybody is. I presume they're a pilot. They call them a pilot who operate a drone. I don't know, but you know,
you could just buy them in Elcourt Inglés, can't you?
I mean, it's quite dangerous, isn't it? I mean, I can't even do the kids' games with the buttons and stuff, so...
Exactly. Goodness knows what would happen. OK, moving on to relationships. It says here, if you're looking for love, try asking for help from the object of your affections. Researchers found people who sought assistance from potential love interests were regarded as more attractive. What's all that about? Damsel in distress type thing, I suppose. Oh, help me, please. I can't do this on my own. That kind of thing.
I sort of was thinking the opposite, that the person doesn't know everything.
Okay.
I know in some situations, if someone is trying to fix someone something for a long time and says, oh, you have a go, you'll probably do it straight away.
Yeah.
And then that happens and it puts the person in bad form.
Mm.
Like, I think sometimes not to be a know-it-all. You know, if you act like you know everything about everything, you know, the remote control, you know how to use it, this, the that, you know.
Yeah.
That, I actually like that idea that, you know, how do I do this? Or, you know, how long do I boil an egg for? Or I don't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, definitely. And it can happen both ways.
Yeah.
Exactly.
How cold would you like your beer? Stuff like that.
Exactly.
I'd be very interested in that, lady.
Yeah, it's all about asking the right questions.
Yeah,
well, asking the questions is always a good, it's always a good sales technique anyway, isn't it? You know, how do you do that? Is that how you do that? You know, and even though you know.
Yeah, just,
you
know.
So you think it's a good thing?
Yeah.
So if you were asked, does my bum look big in this?
By you.
I didn't notice when
and I'm sat between these two.
Thank goodness. Oh dear. Okay. Honesty, respect, and communication are all crucial to a happy marriage, but a simple way to boost your union could be to give your partner a kiss or cuddle in public. Public displays of affection, or PDAs, are linked to greater relationship satisfaction.
True.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think we've all got the same truth to that one, haven't we?
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah? Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Oh, nice. Do you agree, Paul? You've gone a bit quiet there.
Oh, I sometimes think maybe people do it for other people. That,
yeah,
like, there could be.
Yeah.
Have you ever gone out and there's tension between a couple?
Yes.
Yes.
And, like, they give each other this kiss, like the kiss of death. Or, you know, just, you know? Or the couple's like, oh, we never fight. We never row. We've never had a bad word in 30 years of marriage.
Right. Yeah, but that's before the meal. And then you've had the meal and you go out and then you see the real couple, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Can I say, do you guys hold hands?
Yes.
Well, well done.
Yeah, do often.
You, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Occasionally, yeah, occasionally, yeah.
Oh, I feel terrible.
You don't then, no?
I just think it's very hot at the moment.
What about the winter, Paul?
We've our gloves on.
I mean, it's not for everyone. It's not, no. You know, it's not something that you should do. It's just, yeah, it comes naturally to some and not others.
Yeah, I think it is a bit of a show for other people. I think you're right there sometimes.
What, holding hands?
No.
Yeah,
giving your wife a kiss or whatever in public. In you know, you walk into hi, and that's because all your friends are there, so you're making it up that we get on really well all the time, you know. She's probably listening to this now, so I'm in trouble.
I think sometimes it's nice when you're on your own. So when you're not with friends, if you're away on holiday or you're out for a nice dinner and you're just having a nice time and you're having a chat, and then you look into each other's eyes and I don't mean like a full-on passionate snog, but like, you know, a little kiss. It's a moment.
Yeah, a bit of spontaneity.
Yeah, exactly.
How long have you been married?
Like 7 years.
Oh, there you go.
Ask me in 20. Okay.
I know when we go home to Ireland, if we meet friends or a female friend, and you go in for the kiss, and I automatically now go for the second one.
Yes, yeah.
And
exactly.
It sort of turns into a headbutt or a bit of a headbutt.
That is a bit awkward.
Because it's not really what we do.
No, you get so used to it, don't you, here? And people come over, sometimes when family or friends come over from the UK on holiday, you automatically do it and they're not used to it and you've got this, oh, hello. Yeah, definitely. That's awkward. Okay. The father of the bride is off the hook nowadays when it comes to paying for the wedding. 7 in 10 of those planning to tie the knot now believe they should pick the bill for their nuptials and would reject handouts.
Fabulous.
Why would you reject a handout? That's a bit weird.
I'm sickened. I've 2 boys. I think the father of the bride should pay. I just...
Yeah. With 3 boys, I would agree with you.
Well, I've got 2 boys and a girl, so I'm not sure I agree with you totally. I think it's nice if the other party could afford to pay for it and they want to pay for it, fantastic. If they can't and you can, then great, you should do it.
Exactly, yeah? I think it can be either
way. Some
people
would be offended if you said, oh, I'll pay for it.
Yeah,
or whatever.
It's,
you know,
all
the
very...
father might have saved up all his life to give his daughter away, you know?
Mm.
So that could be part of something he wants to do.
Yeah. Yeah,
they're
all
very
needs
expensive,
to be.
Though, aren't they, no weddings? A lot of, you know,
absolutely.
They can be.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's crazy money.
I just, it's one of, it all comes down to who has what money, I think, at the end of the day. If the bride's parents maybe don't have a lot of money and the groom's parents do, it's nice maybe to offer. But as you say, people can get offended. The bride's father might feel like that, you know, he's the one that should be doing it. And, oh, we're making a point that I can't afford it. Oh, you can, so easy to upset people in these situations. But I just think it's, for anyone to be in the position to offer is a lovely thing. Absolutely. And it's down to the bride and groom. If they, you know, need the money and appreciate that, thank you very much. And if they don't, then, well, fine.
We were, last month, we were at my goddaughter's wedding. And the invitation came out, but it was a very well-phrased invitation that money would be preferred.
Yeah. Okay,
but it was put really well.
Yeah.
And then talking to the boys who go to weddings, the minimum, obviously my goddaughter would be different, but the minimum that guests, it's at least to pay for your part of the wedding. And,
right. Well, that was phrased.
No, basically they said they'd appreciate. They have everything they want.
Yeah.
And they would appreciate help with the honeymoon. Or,
yeah.
It was very well phrased. Basically,
we said, did that.
Please don't give us a carving knife, like, you know?
Yeah, exactly. We don't need a kettle. Yeah. Because it's changed totally, hasn't it? Most of the time, you know, people who are getting married these days have lived together for a number of years and they do have a lot of what they need. And for a lot of people, it is about going on a nice honeymoon and helping towards the honeymoon fund. And I think that's fine.
Well, funnily enough, I was at the same wedding and there was a credit card machine on each table. So they kind of give you an idea of what they require.
with an itemised bill.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you are eating this.
Which costs this much.
It was not easy in the day when you bought a kettle, though, wasn't it? Because now you sat there wondering, like, is 50 quid enough? Is 100 quid? What should it be?
You know, exactly. Like, that is a difficult one, yeah. But if you think about how much it's cost, then I guess, if you're going as a couple, then maybe 100 euro, depending on how much you'd know them.
Yeah.
Again, that can make a difference. If it's someone you've had in your life for so many years, again, it depends how much money you've got to what you spend as well.
They had a post box there.
Yeah.
And that's where you put the envelopes in.
Oh, that's nice.
I found it was actually a lady that she rents these post boxes out.
That's her job.
What a business.
Oh, really? Clever. Yeah. Well, anything involved with the wedding business is insane. If you're looking for, well, to get your hair done, to get a dress, to get a wedding cake, all these type of, if you just put the word wedding in front of any of those things, the money is crazy. Okay, one more before we take another break. Talking about TV squabbles, if there's certain things that you want to watch that your partner doesn't want to watch or they want to watch that you don't want to watch, how do you handle it? Do you compromise? Do you watch what each other watches or do you go in different rooms in the house or...?
IPTV.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get three TVs or one IPTV.
Yeah.
Go where you like. Watch what you want.
Exactly.
All you got to do is argue over which room you're in.
Yeah, who's sitting
who's
where?
Got the best talent.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is that the easiest thing to do?
I think catch up has been a game for us in our house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're not actually missing a program.
No.
You know, you can catch it in an hour, catch it in 2 hours.
Yeah.
But there is also the other room.
Yeah.
With the other TV. Like,
yeah. You
know?
Yeah.
My husband was away recently in the UK and I started to watch a few different series that had been recommended to me that I knew that he wouldn't enjoy. And it was really nice watching these series. And now he's back, as lovely as it is to see him. I'm like, want to know what happened in these series because I haven't had the chance to watch it because he's back and we're watching things together.
Bangers and Cash.
Bangers and Cash. Oh, no. No, it's really good.
We have that in our state. I do like gangster films. I like gangster series and all that. So there's a lot of stuff Ursula just won't watch. She has no interest.
Yeah.
So I find myself watching that on my own, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Ursula would look, you know, casually, anything with a hospital in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, an ex-nurse, like, you know?
Yeah.
But, as I say, with catch-up TV now, you know, you can get into a series and...
TV's changed dramatically, hasn't it?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And you think it's okay to watch things separately? It doesn't spoil time together if you're watching different things in different rooms?
I think if you, like, the other... Before we went, we watched one of our favourite movies, Sunshine and Lee, that is a musical as well.
Yeah.
It's all the Proclaimer songs.
Yeah.
And we watched that together. We have another one called Marvelous. We go back and we watch an awful lot, and we watch those together. Like, you know what I mean? But Ursula's no interest sometimes in watching Gaelic football or Liverpool. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I'm definitely with Ursula.
Ursula sounds all right, to be fair.
Brilliant. We're going to take a break.
Hannah Murray. TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Men Talk. With me in the studio today is Paul, Steve and Beau. So there was an article about adults on phones. Now there's an article about young people on phones. Youngsters will be shocked to learn that unless they change their ways, they could end up wasting a third of their lives looking at their smart devices. A study has found that the average young person spends 5.5 hours on their phone a day, which could add up to 25 years, based on a waking day of 16 hours. So how do you stop children or young people spending so much time on their phone, especially when the adults are allegedly doing it themselves? What kind of what have you been through as parents with regards to...
For me, interacting with them.
Yeah.
You know, God, we had ABC games for animals. We had ABC games for countries. We had Harry McClarty from Donaldson's Dairy. With all these Ursula, the books, the colouring books and crayons.
Yeah.
That was for me now. But But I was saying to guys beforehand, like, to see a restaurant and to see a whole family on their phones, there's something very sad about it.
Yeah.
Or a two-year-old in the pram. And they've got this...
device.
Device in front of them. Like, I was saying, there was... I think it's a French photographer. He pictures people and he removes the phones. And you want to see a family out together.
Wow, clever.
And they're just looking at their hands.
Yeah.
And it's quite sad.
Definitely.
You know, but to see... I mean, I've seen couples out.
Yeah.
And they look like they're on a date and they haven't said a word to each
other. Nothing.
They're both on their phones. And then one of them will stop and put the phone really high and pout.
Normally the man.
possibly.
Well, and show that they're having a great time, even though they're not actually chatting to each other.
Smile.
Then they'll check in on social media, having the best time, and then back on their phones, not looking at each other.
Well, I've got three kids, 22, 20 and 16, and they are very phone reliant because it's just the age group that they are, and it's just their life revolves around the telephone. And they get up in the morning and they'll have the telephone on while they're eating their breakfast. I'm like, kids, please, just put the phone down, you know?
Yeah.
And they don't even realise they're doing it, to be honest with you.
It just becomes a habit. Because they're
checking on something, doing something, talking to their friends, communicating, you know. But if we do go out for a meal, it's like, guys, put the phone down. Okay. All of us put the phone down. Let's have a little chat.
Yeah.
You know, a bit of conversation, a bit of family fun. Because I don't agree with that in the restaurant, just all the phones going off and all that thing. I think it's a shame, to be honest with you.
Definitely.
Yeah. And it's nice to have a little chat because it's actually fun when you start talking to your kids. You learn a bit about them, you know?
Yeah. Definitely.
You actually realise you know something.
Yeah. Got all the names right and everything.
Well, yeah, if you're going out for dinner, whether it's with your family, your partner or a group of friends... I mean, the kids might be doing it because they've been told to do it. But for the most part, you're choosing to do it. You're choosing to go to that restaurant. You're choosing to spend time with that person or those people. Yeah. If you don't want to spend time with that person, then just stay at home and watch the telly. You're going out to be with them. So therefore, spending the whole time on your phone is just crazy, isn't it?
I think you can get distracted. You can get... sort of caught into that where your phone, you get a message on your phone or your phone vibrates in your pocket and you unconsciously pick it out, look at it, and then some
because it might be important.
Yeah, you know, you're on your phone and
it could be the one.
You don't realise you've done it, to be, you know, and I think it's just an automatic thing now. It's hard to get out of.
And when you do it, then you see that something's happened on Instagram. So you just have a quick look while you're there. And then, there's a message here. And it can happen. But what still annoys me, and I feel the need to say this pretty much every time this subject comes up, is the QR code menus. Because if my husband and I are out for dinner and they don't have a proper menu and you have to look on your phone, I feel the need to go, we're just looking at the menus. Because people go, they've got nothing to say to each other. But you're actually just looking at the menu. So that could be something that people are doing.
And they've not kissed each other once.
Exactly. Looking at the menus whilst having a kiss. Yeah, just to prove a point.
Do you not feel, if you're in a restaurant as well, if someone was choking, years ago, people would help.
Yes.
I would guarantee the phones will come out. We had a terrible...
to film it, you mean?
We had a terrible case in Cork, isn't it? And the mother was unbelievable. Her son drowned in the River Lee. It was filmed by six
people. No!
No one helped. This was a river in Cork.
Oh, that's awful.
And she was on the news the other night, and it's so sad that no one threw in a life buoy. No one jumped in to save, but it was filmed.
Oh.
Yeah. And it was made, put in the public realms, if that's the word.
Yeah.
The amount of fights, people take out their phones.
Yeah.
If a glass breaks, the phone's on just in case it's a row.
Yeah.
It's really sad.
It really is.
Rather than helping a person.
Yeah.
They film it.
I saw an awful video the other day that was filmed in, I can't remember which station it was, Earl's Court, I think, in London. And this guy was chasing this man to try and steal his watch. That's what the video said anyway. I don't know the proof in that. But he was literally chasing him round and round and knocking things over and knocking people over. And loads of people were filming it. No one was trying. And it was a busy station. There was loads of people around. No one was trying to get in between the two of them or stop it. And yeah, just everyone was filming it. And I thought that was really scary. But the issue with trying to get involved in a situation like that, the guy who's trying to rob the other guy could easily have a weapon. And that's the sad reality of whether you really would get involved and put yourself out there. You know, if you see a fight happening in the street, even if it's a man hitting a woman, something that you might be totally against, to get involved, and it has happened, people can end up being stabbed or whatever themselves. So it is a really interesting question as to what point, if you would get involved in those kinds of situations. Whether you'd like to think you would, when it comes down to
it,
would you actually? It's a difficult one. I'm not expecting you to tell me, don't worry. I'm just putting it out there. It's a scary situation. We'd all like to think that we'd like to help someone.
Absolutely, absolutely. I worked on the doors for over 20 years.
Yeah.
And there are certainly times where I've seen a man hit a woman and intervened, and you get, I didn't get beaten up, but you get attacked by both of them.
I was just going to
really?
Say, I didn't want to say that, but you actually,
they both turn on you. And it's happened more than once.
And the lady who's actually being, obviously I wasn't at the same place as you, but I'm in the same business. And you'd be surprised, and I'm not generalising, I'm just saying what I've seen, is that there's a man obviously hurting this lady in the couple or married or boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, and he's doing her some damage, and you go across or your door staff go across and try and sort the situation out, then she goes bananas with the person who's trying to help them.
Yeah.
It's amazing. The lady that has been assaulted, basically, then takes the side of the fella and then starts to, yes or no?
Yeah.
It's amazing. Literally, that's why I didn't want to say that.
God, that's awful, isn't it? Because you'd like to think that you could help someone and that the help would be appreciated, but when that happens,
obviously this is always when there's drink involved, you know.
Yeah, it's
not a stone cold situation walking down the street. Yeah,
but yeah, the sad reality is it puts people off. You know, you hear horrible stories of people who pretend to be broken down by the side of the road, so you stop to make sure they're okay, and they're absolutely fine. They just want to rob you, and again, it makes you feel like you don't ever want to help anyone, which is a horrible place to be.
Yeah,
because it makes you wary of whether people are actually in need or not.
No, very much so. I know on the phones issue, our schools at the moment, they got pouches. And the kids have to put their phone in the pouch.
Okay.
But now, we were out the other night and one person was a teacher and told us they burn our phones, the kids.
What?
They have
a second phone.
Burner phones, and they pop the phone in the pouch and the kids have a burner.
That is crazy.
Unbelievable.
Oh my goodness. That's madness. Okay, we better take the last ad break.
Hannah Murray, TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the last part of today's Men Talk. With me in the studio today is Paul, Steve and Beau. There's an article talking about banning smoking. France will ban smoking in all outdoor places that can be frequented by children, including beaches, parks and bus stops. Restrictions will come into force on July the 1st, and failure to comply with the draconian measure, it says here, in a country famed for its celebrity smokers could result in a £114 fine. So, how do you feel about smoking in public, smoking around children and all that kind of stuff?
Well, I like cigar. I do, yeah. But not every day, but I enjoy a cigar. But I wouldn't do it indoors or anything like that. But outdoors and stuff like that, you know, I would not like to think I couldn't have a cigar or whatever.
Yeah.
Not in closed areas.
No.
Which nobody, I don't think, does anymore, do they?
No. The odd person vapes, which I think is rude, indoors.
I'm not keen on that.
No.
And it can be the very strange person. Smells.
I think most people...
These are just really odd people.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I read the other day that San Francisco has banned vaping. You cannot vape outside anywhere in San Francisco, which is amazing.
Wow.
Mm. Huge, huge deal.
I know in Canada, certainly in Toronto, where one of my son says that vaping is a huge problem.
Yeah.
They, I'm not saying everybody vapes, but it's incredibly popular.
Mm. It's aimed at kids. I mean, there's no getting away from it. With the bubble gum flavour and the watermelon. I mean, how many grown adults would be going, oh, I want some bubble gum flavour? I mean, it's literally marketed at children.
There are a lot of adults that vape as well, eh?
Oh, definitely.
Surprisingly amount. And the size of these vapes, it's like a handgun.
Yeah.
It's amazing, these things, isn't it?
But if someone has a cigarette in a park, what harm are they doing to anybody else?
I know. It's
That's
difficult.
My opinion
to, yeah.
That's
no, I used to smoke. I don't mind a waft of a smell of smoke. I really, it doesn't. I don't want someone smoking on top of me.
No.
Or in a when I'm eating. But if they're in a park or at the beach.
It's very hard to look back and remember being in a pub and everybody smoking.
Yeah.
How weird was that?
But can you remember when you could smoke on aeroplanes?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And you could put
certain
it out in the ashtray on the seat, on the arm of the seat. Yeah. And it'd fall on the floor and you'd be looking for it on the floor. You're all right, mate, don't worry, I've got it.
It was ridiculous and how there'd be non-smoking
and then the person behind
you smoking.
Was a smoker.
I mean, ridiculous.
Or you could smoke at the back.
Yeah.
Oh, we used to go on golf trips and, like, we'd fly over here and we'd all be smoking, but in the back of the plane. And so one of the plane didn't sort of just go straight up in the air because everybody was through the back having a fag.
Yeah.
When you look at it, though, like sometimes we go on a plane and the odd one's still got the ashtrays in there. And the kids are looking at it going, what's all this about, Dad?
What's this for?
Once upon a time.
They're trying to plug in their iPhone.
Yeah.
Put some sweets in it, is that thing? Yeah. It's strange how that's... But I was never a big smoker, but I used to smoke as well. And even as a smoker, I never liked being in a pub where everyone was smoking or being in a confined space where everyone was smoking. Yeah. I remember you'd just think, it's too much. Yeah.
As a smoker, do you understand vaping? I don't get it. I mean, if you're a smoker, you're a smoker.
Yeah.
But why vape? I mean, I don't get it.
People think that it's healthier, but I don't think there's enough kind of data coming from
right,
it. There's
though.
Already been some
it's
horrendous.
Based to the kids and it's trendy and it's cool. I think that's why the young people are vaping more.
As it was for smoking for us.
I guess
when we were kids, it was trendy and cool.
Yeah, true.
And for adult smoking, I think it's because they it's perceived, at least at this stage, to be healthier. So if they're trying to quit smoking, then vaping is like a step down from smoking before quitting altogether.
It's supposed to be, though, isn't it?
I think that's kind of the idea, but... Yeah.
The colour of the roofs in pubs years ago with the nicotine.
Oh.
It was that wonderful dark yellow.
Yeah. Oh. How can you use the word wonderful?
There's still pubs like that.
We used to have the white plastic ceilings, you know, in the strips and things.
Yeah.
And when we do a refit, like 3 or 4 years later, the difference in the colour. Only through the smoke.
Yeah.
You wouldn't notice until you see the new colour.
Until you put the new one next to it.
Yeah.
It's two different colours, like magnolia and white.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Yeah. And you think, well, that's going through your lungs all the time.
Yeah.
You can smoke in hospital. I remember breaking my leg playing rugby, and I remember smoking in a hospital bed.
Wow.
And that's not a long time ago.
No. I remember going to a hospital in Greece and going into the reception, and the guy was sitting in reception with his legs crossed up on the desk with a cigarette in one hand and a beer in the other. And he was the receptionist of the hospital. I was like, this is mad. And I remember coming into the bank in Spain even.
Say.
And the bank manager would smoke. So you'd be smoking, like opening up an account and stuff. Like, weird. Really weird. Okay. This is a controversial one, but we can do it. Parents were shocked to learn that their primary school age children are being taught about the 300 different flags of pride at school. Leaflets handed out by the charity Swindon and Wiltshire Pride claim that there are more flags representing sexuality and gender identity than there are for countries. The list includes an intersex inclusive pride flag, a I don't even know how you say all these things, polyamory pride flag, and even a black and white heterosexual flag. Do we need to know, or do young children need to know, 300 different types of pride flags?
Probably not.
Yeah.
I don't even know the rest of things.
No, exactly. We wouldn't know about it now. No. I just think it's sort of gone...
I'm very worried that the heterosexual ones are black and white flag, like a pirate's scum.
I suppose they've put it in the simplest term. It's black and white, isn't it? And everything else has got lots...
lots of colour.
Exactly. But, I don't understand why... young children need to know all of this.
Well, exactly. Is there a need for it? I don't think so.
I don't think so at all. I don't think adults need to know all of this. You know what I mean?
Who does know all of these three?
Well, quite. I just think if it's something that you want to know and need to know for whatever reason, because you're a certain way, or you have a family member or a friend that's a certain gender, or
you're a flag maker.
Or you're a flag maker, yes, exactly.
In which case, it's a great idea.
You need to be on top of it.
How does it help someone knowing these flags? So that's one, like, there's a comedian in Ireland, and he will start his routine sometimes by saying, I come from a mixed marriage. My father was a man, and my mother was a woman.
Yeah.
And, like...
getting more and more controversial.
I'm nearly afraid what I'm going to say, but nearly every ad for every product at the moment doesn't feature a man and a woman.
Really? Do you reckon?
It's the cover all basis.
Yeah.
Can you imagine going to the Olympics in 10 years' time with all the flags they have to put up?
God! Yeah.
We'll take the opening
ceremony is going to be like a fortnight.
Crazy. Longer than the games.
Interesting enough about the ticking boxes thing. I interviewed a woman the other day who has cerebral palsy and has a really her voice is obviously really affected by it. And it was a really fascinating interview. I was asking her all kinds of questions about what it's like and how people treat her and things like that. And I asked her how she felt about more and more TV programs, whether it's reality shows or comedy panel shows, about there being more disabled people or people from different backgrounds and all kinds of things being represented.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people, you know, when they had Tasha and also the girl a couple of years ago, deaf contestants on Strictly Come Dancing, for example, and Tasha, I know, has done a massive amount of work for the deaf community, and it's brilliant. But I asked her how she felt, and she said, as long as it's done right, with kind of respect and for the right reasons, then it's a good thing. But if it's done to kind of tick a box, then it's not. And I think some of these adverts are a prime example of ticking boxes.
They've got
all the... You know, they're like, we've got to have someone that looks like that, we've got to have someone that looks like that, we've got to have someone that has that in orientation, we've got... Yeah. As opposed to just going, okay, let's have a family and...
Well, they've also looked at the market, haven't they?
Yeah.
And thought this advert is going to a certain market, and that market is purchasing our product.
Yeah.
They don't do it for nothing.
No, that's the point. I have to think about that.
Can you imagine if they were to do Captain's Birdseye today, what he looked like, or the Milky Bar Kid?
Yeah.
There's no way they'd allow him dressed like that.
It wouldn't be a little white boy with blonde hair. They'd have to make him more interesting.
Yes. More diverse.
You're more diverse, exactly. Absolutely. Well, we're at the end of today's show. Thank you all very much for coming on today. Lots of fun. We have got Howard Brereton up next with Spain Today. I am off tomorrow because it's Friday, so have a great weekend. I will be back with you on Monday at 4. We will have Women Talk next Thursday at 5. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the sunshine.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. That's abilitychiro.com.